Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show, Ice Ice. That's right. We're going to talk about ice. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 31 years. I'm so excited for today's show. Each week, I want to talk about some aspect of Kobe Bryant that we all are missing and yet appreciated so much in his life and what he gave each of us. And today, it's going to be about having ice in his veins. Came to the end of the game. Some players run away from the stress, the challenge. Not Kobe Bryant. He wanted the ball. He had ice in his veins. Remember that shot that D'Angelo Russell made and he pointed to his forearm like he had ice in his veins? Kobe didn't need to point to his forearm. You just saw it. So I thought about ice. I thought about ices. And I love food. So I thought about my favorite ices. It's called sorbet. It's chocolate. Chocolate Italian ices. And my favorite company that makes chocolate ices, chocolate sorbet, is Ciaubella. And at 7:15, the CEO of Ciaubella is going to be calling in because we're going to talk about the complexity of making ice. This is not gelato. This is not ice cream. This is sorbet. This is ices. And I'm fascinated by it. So it made me think all week, where in the world of art, where in the world of sports, and certainly where in the world of surgery do we see the complexity of dealing with ice? Well, in art, in 1869, France had one of the coldest winters in recorded history. And in 1869, the artist, my favorite painter of all time, was Claude Monet. Claude Monet, his wife passed away in 1869. Devastating. He winds up in a home in Normandy where World War II was, but this is now 1869. And he and his buddies decide that they're going to take on the challenge of painting ice. Painting the River Seine, which never froze before. All of a sudden, it's frozen. And they want to paint what fresh snow looks like, and ice. Now recognize, it's just white. It's one color. How could you put up a canvas that's just white and say, yep, this is early morning snow? Because Claude Monet was a genius. And he and his buddies, but particularly him, recognized that as the light changed from morning to afternoon to early evening, the shading on that white snow and ice gave all kinds of colors to the white surface. The revolution that he created was this. If you take a picture, you paint a painting, you look at someone across the room, and there's light in the room, what do you see? You see a shadow. If you got light, you got a shadow. Claude Monet recognized that the classic teaching is the shadow is black. Everyone's shadow is black. And this is the principle of Caravaggio and all the painters that came before him, including Michelangelo. You want a shadow, it's black. Claude Monet said, no, it's not. Particularly when you're trying to paint ice and snow, there's color in the shadow. It's not just black. So if you go on Twitter right now, at Dr. Robert Clapper, or you go on Wikipedia and Google, type in Monet, M-O-N-E-T. And the painting I want you to look at is called Magpie, M-A-G-P-I-E, which is a bird. It's like a black crow with a white chest. Claude Monet's painting, which he did in 1869 of the magpie, is a wintry, snowy scene. But look at the shadows in that painting. They are blue. They're not black. It's an amazing revolution that took place. And we'll get into it in a minute. Just love it. Painting ice, snow. What about in sports? Where in my lifetime is ice and snow so important that really moved me? Yes, 1980, the miracle on ice, Al Michaels calling the U.S. hockey team against the Russians in the Winter Olympics at Lake Placid, New York. Yep, miracle on ice, there it is, right in front of you. And I remember that vividly. But you know what I also remember about that 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid? The young Olympian from America, from Wisconsin, Eric Heiden. He was the speed skater who broke five world records in a single Olympics. He won five gold medals in a row. He won the sprint, which was 38 seconds. And then he won the marathon in speed skating, the 10,000 meter, in 15 minutes. Can you imagine winning the 100-yard dash and the marathon all in the same Olympics? No one's ever going to do that again. Eric Heiden did it. Five races, he won them all. What's fascinating to me is the complexity of ice is in the fourth race, the 1,500 meter, he slipped. You know why he slipped? Because ice is complex. It has texture, and there was a crack in the ice. He almost fell down. All of us gasped. But Eric Heiden put his hand down, stabilized himself, because as he says, it was about at 600 meters. Early in the race, he was still strong enough to push himself up, and he beat the Russians and won another gold medal. The texture of ice, the color of ice. Who knows better about texture and color than Ciaobella, who makes Italian ices, sorbet. So at 7:15, I cannot wait to talk to Nikki Sheridan, who's going to be calling in thanks to the great Jared Abrams. I said, Jared, I love Ciaobella. I love their chocolate sorbet. I particularly love it with chocolate gelato together. And he got her. So I'm looking forward to this at 7:15. Food. You know, I always love to talk about food with you, and everybody seems to love it. But today I'm going to talk about food. Delicious, but it's how you eat the food. What do I mean? In L.A., everybody's in their car driving around. Then they have pizzerias that you can buy the whole pizza. It's delivered from Domino's to Pizza Hut. It's awful. Awful, awful pizza. But how could you make a bad pizza? My mouth is watering already. But from New York, where I'm from, we don't eat pizza as a whole pie. And we don't eat pizza sitting down. To me, you want to taste the pizza better? You got to stand up. And you got to drink that pizza with an ice-cold Coke. Standing up! And it's a slice. I don't want the whole pizza. Well, this week, illegally, because my wife didn't know about it, I was supposed to go home for dinner. But I got hungry on the way. And I said to myself, I need to have a slice of pizza. Two, actually. Standing up with a Coke, looking at the wall, basically. It just tastes better that way. And I'm going to tell you where you can get the greatest slice of pizza, standing up with a Coke. And trust me, you got to do this. It's going to taste 10 times better than the best slice of pizza you ever had. I'm talking too much already. But I want you to hear about Claude Monet and this painting he did in 1869 called The Magpie. It's in the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. It's the most popular painting in that whole museum. It's the largest painting he ever did of a winter scene. But to me, it's fascinating because how the hell do you paint snow? And all the variations of it, all the different flavors of Italian ices that Ciaobella makes, mango, lemon. But for me, there's only one. It's chocolate. Black ice, like Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba. You know why he called himself a Mamba? Because a snake is cold-blooded. And that's what Kobe was at the end of the game, a cold-blooded killer. Reuben Patterson, the Kobe stopper. Ha! Go read that book that Andrew Bernstein did called The Mamba Mentality and read about what Kobe thought about Reuben Patterson, the nerve of him calling himself the Kobe stopper. He's the Black Mamba, cold-blooded. He's got ice in his veins. But listen to, in art, understanding that ice has color when the sun shines on it, and no painting displays it better than Claude Monet's painting of the magpie, 1860, one of my favorite paintings of all time. Listen to a Parisian art historian talking about the revolution in art that involved painting snow, painting ice, by making shadows no longer black.
But in his eyes, he see all the reflections of light. So you have reflections of yellow, of pink, and especially the shadows. The shadows are not black anymore. They are now colored with lots of blue, very vivid blue. It was one of the ideas people of the 19th century had, and especially the scientists, that the colors of one shadow was the opposite colors of the light.
Exactly right. He's now painting shadows blue.
In one of the earliest paintings we have in the exhibition is a very large winter landscape. It's an important painting, I think, because it's embodied in the way they were looking at nature. Here, especially because Monet is really trying to see what are the colors of snow.
Mm. And in sports, the complexity of ice. It was 1980. Speed skater Eric Heiden, who, by the way, became an orthopedic surgeon. I'm very proud of him. He's now Dr. Eric Heiden. But this guy did something nobody else is going to do again. This is Bonnie Blair. Remember her? She won 5 gold medals in speed skating as well. Listen to her talking about Eric Heiden.
Looking back, and as the years pass, I become more appreciative of what
That's Eric
I was
Heiden
able to
talking.
Do as an athlete. The ability to skate from the race that's, you know, 35, 38 seconds up to skating a race that's 15 minutes. That's just unheard of.
He was my hero.
This is Dan
he
Jensen.
He was the reason that I stuck with skating and wanted to go to the Olympics.
He really was somebody who was ahead of his time, because to win the shortest event and the longest event in our sport will never be done again.
But he almost didn't do it, because we talked about the color of ice and its complexity. It's also the texture of ice. Listen to Keith Jackson calling that Olympics, where Eric Heiden, the fourth event out of the 5 events, he slips because there was a crack in the ice.
We just hoped that there wasn't going to be some unfortunate accident.
In the 1,500 meters, Eric broke into an early lead. Then, with the race in hand, he almost lost it.
I just remember my heart stopping on the backstretch, because he went down, he put his hand on the ice, and literally thought that was it.
Coming down off the final turn, slipped there a moment ago. This time he handled it very well. Here's the drive, watch the time.
Eric Heiden, trying for 5, easily won his fourth gold medal.
Here's Eric Heiden explaining what happened.
So the fourth race was 1,500 meters, and at, I'm going to say, 600 meters, I had a big slip. There's a crack in the ice. It took away a little bit of my rhythm, but it was like one complete stroke was used to sort of maintain my balance. And then all of a sudden, I was back skating again. It was early on in the race, and so I still had a lot of strength, so I could catch my balance. 1,500 meters was a race I really felt confident I was going to walk away with a gold medal. And so a little slip was nothing.
Little slip was nothing. Incredible.
This guy won everything from the 500 meters to the 10,000 meters. That's like saying somebody's going to go to the Olympic Games and win the 100-meter dash and the marathon.
Eric Heiden going for his 5th individual gold medal.
For a skater, it was like watching a dream, because it's just, it'll never be done again.
Way, way out in front of the Austrian.
Eric Heiden's performance was probably the greatest individual performance in history.
The texture of ice that almost cost him the Olympic gold medal. Because of the crack in the ice. Yeah, it's really hard to work with ice, to make it perfect. The color of ice that Claude Monet was obsessed with, that the shadow is not black, but it's actually blue in his painting in 1869 of the magpie. Coloring ice is difficult. There's a complexity. But when you get into the world of ice, and I can talk about it in surgery, where we use ice to freeze tumors in the bone, there is such a beauty to ice because it's also temperature dependent. It's liquid, and it can be slushy, and then it becomes a solid. It's hard to work in it, but nobody works with it better than my favorite sorbet, Ciao Bella, chocolate sorbet. And coming up next, we'll talk to the great Nikki Scherer from Ciao Bella about complexity of actually working with creating the greatest thing in ice that could go into your mouth. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Ice Nine, Joe Citriani. Sounds Italian. We love that. All right, joining me now is the great Nikki Scherer from Ciao Bella. Nikki, thanks so much for getting up early to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I actually do have my co-founder as well, Keith Scherer, with me too, because he is a chef by 20 years history, and I figured he'd be fun to also bring on since you're talking sports and ice.
How do you like the connection I'm making between Claude Monet, Eric Heiden, and you? What do you think of that one, Nikki?
I think it's amazing because I'm an artist too, so I love the connection between sports and art and ice. I think it's pretty awesome.
When I did my orthopedic training in New York at a place called the Hospital for Special Surgery, where the knee replacement was invented, I was there from 1984 to 1988. And part of your training is you have to spend, at least I spent 6 months doing cancer surgery in bone at the Sloan Kettering Hospital. And the very first day I was there, there was a surgeon. People flew from all over the world because he had the best results at getting rid of cancer in the bone. And one of the tricks he used that he came up with was using liquid nitrogen, and it was called cryosurgery. So you'd remove the tumor from the bone, but you'd always worry, were there cells that still remained in the bone? What are you going to do, take the whole thing? No, he said, I'm going to kill that tumor that remains without hurting the other structures. And the smoke from liquid nitrogen, you couldn't even see the surgeon. It was crazy. It was so cloudy in the operating. It was an insane idea. But you know what? That's what they use all over the world now. When you want to kill the cells without removing the whole bone, you pour liquid nitrogen in. So that was my first introduction to ice in the operating room. But I was an art history major at Columbia. And of all the things I studied, I fell in love with sculpting and marble. But as a painter, nobody was better than Claude Monet. And listen, because I'm going to pick your brains here, Nikki, even though we're going to get to talk about ice cream and ices and sorbet and gelato. Listen to the revolution that Claude Monet gave us all by making a shadow not black to paint ice and snow. 1869, look at this painting called The Magpie. He comes up with the idea that, no, the shadow's going to be a different color. It's going to be blue.
But in his eyes, you see all the reflections of light. So you have reflections of yellow, of pink, and especially the shadows. The shadows are not black anymore. They are now colored with lots of blue, very vivid blue. It was one of the ideas people of the 19th century had, and especially the scientists, that the colors of one shadow was the opposite colors of the light.
So tell us, in Ciao Bella, when you make these different flavors, mango, lemon, which my favorite is chocolate, tell us about coloring. Is it comes from the natural ingredients, or do you add color?
No, this is Keith. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
No, we don't add any color at all. It's all natural ingredients.
Wow.
And so, yeah, color plays a big part in the eating experience. And with your chocolate, actually, we blend, much like a painter on his palette, different shades of cocoa to hit just the right notes. And in the case of the chocolate sorbet, people tend to like it pretty rich and pretty dark.
Yes, people would be me included. So let me tell you a story. I'm visiting. My daughter was living in France at the time, and we wind up on the south of France. The French Riviera was beautiful. This hotel called the Metropole. I'm sitting there with my wife looking at the water. It was just spectacular. And the waiter comes over and says, can I get you something to eat? Yeah, sure. Give me the menu. And on the menu was a scoop of chocolate gelato and a scoop of chocolate sorbet. Never had this before. No big deal. He puts these two scoops of gelato and sorbet in the same, and both were chocolate. I swear, I could have died and gone to heaven right at that moment. So I became obsessed with chocolate sorbet, chocolate ices, and I couldn't wait to come home to Los Angeles to do this. So I go to the Whole Foods in Westwood. There it is, Ciao Bella, chocolate ices. Then I go to my local Gelson's. Oh, my God, there's the Ciao Bella, the chocolate sorbet. Guess what? I had the head of Gelson's, the dietitian, Jessica Siegel, on two months ago, because they no longer carry it. So I got Jared to get you guys on the radio so I can ask you publicly, how come I can't get Ciao Bella chocolate sorbet anymore at Gelson's?
Well, we'll send you at least the case to share with your friends. But, I think it's one of those things that confounds people. Like, you know, I think they expect ice to come from fruit-based things and juice-based things, and when they see chocolate, maybe they're a little bit puzzled by it because it tends to be a little bit esoteric. But yeah, it is one of the finest things that we make, and we certainly still make it today.
Keith,
and
can I ask you a question? Because they keep telling me there's like a middleman buyer for Gelson's, and this Verstunkene Schmendrick does not want to put on the list. They'll have your other flavors, but thank you. And they cannot penetrate this buyer to get the stuff into the supermarket. So I got to ask you a question for those of us who are desperate. Do you have a website, for example, where a person could type in and you could ship it? I mean, how do you get it if the supermarket don't carry it?
If the supermarket doesn't carry it, you could get it on our parent company website, which is highroadcraft.com. And I suspect that we could use a clip from this show to bring to the buyer at Gelson.
Now you know what I'm up to. Thank you very much. this was a selfish guest appearance. Thank you very much. But I really am fascinated. The topic is ISIS, because I knew I was going to have you on, and obviously the tragic loss of Kobe Bryant. And every time he did the promo for this radio show, he's very important to all of us in the world, but particularly here in Los Angeles. So until I can't stop thinking about him every week on this show, I think about something else that makes us love Kobe, and it was the ice in his veins. He called himself the Black Mamba because a snake is cold-blooded, and he was. He wanted the ball to take the last shot. So the topic became, all right, ice in the veins. Then I thought of ice, and then I thought of my favorite ices, which is sorbet, which is you guys. So that's how this all came about. But it made me think, where, because I'm an artist, I'm a surgeon, and I love sports. So every week on this show, there's a topic, and I go looking for it in those passionate worlds of mine of art, of sports, and of surgery. And so the food item is you guys, which is why I'm so glad you're here. So we just talked about color and different flavors that Monet tried to bring out in his paintings. But in sports, when I think of the Miracle on Ice, sure, that was great, 1980s, but it was Eric Heiden, and he almost did not get that fifth gold medal in a row because in the fourth race, he slipped. So listen to Keith Jackson calling 1980 Lake Placid Eric Heiden, one of the greatest athletes ever to come out of America, almost slipping.
We just hoped that there wasn't going to be some unfortunate accident.
In the 1500 meters, Eric broke into an early lead. Then, with the race in hand, he almost lost it.
I just remember my heart stopping on the backstretch because he went down, he put his hand on the ice, and literally thought that was it.
This is Coach.
Eric Heiden, flying for five, easily won his fourth gold medal.
Now I want you to listen to Eric Heiden talking about a crack in the ice.
So the fourth race was 1,500 meters, and at, I'm going to say, 600 meters, I had a big slip. There was a crack in the ice.
Crack in the ice.
It took away a little bit of my rhythm, but it was like one complete stroke was used to sort of maintain my balance. And then all of a sudden, I was back skating again. It was early on in the race, and so I still had a lot of strength so I could catch my balance. 1,500 meters was a race I really felt confident I was going to walk away with a gold medal. And so a little slip was nothing.
Can you guys hang on? Because I want to just pay some bills. Because I want you to think about teaching us about how hard it is to maintain the texture of the ice. He suffered with a crack in the ice. I'm sure it ain't easy to make the consistency of Chow Bella's chocolate sorbet. It must be. I'm fascinated by how you deal with the texture of ice. So could you hold on so we can come back to you? Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, hang on. We'll pay some bills. We'll come back. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. What a treat. Literally talking about my favorite Italian ices, better known as sorbet from the great company Chow Bella, and my favorite flavor, chocolate. Nikki and Keith Schroeder on the line. I want to thank you guys for doing this. So, texture. How do you get to consistency? What's the recipe? How do you make ices? How do you make sorbet? And how is it different than gelato or ice cream?
Sure. Well, with gelato and ice cream, it's usually a blend of cream and milk and sweeteners as the base. And with sorbet is really all you have to work with to shape texture is water and sugar. And so what you do to attempt to get the texture really smooth is get to a right Brix level. It's not unlike harvesting fruit or making wine. And with sorbets, the Brix level needs to be somewhere between 28 and 32, and you have to balance to make sure that the solids aren't too high. Otherwise, it could taste a bit like a frozen cotton ball, almost like fibrous and not so pleasant. So you got to keep the solids moderate and then just get the sugars and water ratio right, and it's actually fairly easy.
So this is the same problem Eric Heiden had, because you got a crack in the ice that his skate got caught in, because obviously at that spot, the ice didn't blend as a beautiful conforming force. It led to a crack. So you would get a crack in your sorbet if you open it up, if the ratios were not right or the temperature was not right. I mean, it's the same thing, no?
That's exactly correct. And so even from 28 to 27, for instance, it would go from feeling smooth and scoopable to being able to kind of knock on it like an ice pop.
Hmm. And do you actually hire people to be tasters of your gelato and sorbet?
Yeah, it's pretty cool in the offices every day when the R&D team is working. They run around with spoons. I'm surprised all of us don't weigh well over 350.
Oh, man. When you think about the perfect job in life, what do you do for a living? I'm a taster for Chow Bella's sorbet. He's like, oh, my God. Sign me up. Holy smokes. Let me know a little bit about you guys.
I found another job.
So let's start with you ladies first. So, Nikki, where did you grow up? What did your dad do for a living? What was your journey like? How did you end up at Chow Bella?
Oh, that's a great question. I grew up in upstate New York in Albany area.
Nice.
Yeah.
I worked at a hospital at Cooperstown, so you're not too far from Cooperstown. Yeah, I actually did a rotation up there. It was really just a delightful thing to be near the Baseball Hall of Fame, but there was a beautiful hospital up there affiliated with Columbia, and I was a medical student at Columbia, and I went up there. It's just the nicest people, just the nicest area. You say you're from New York. It has nothing to do with Manhattan, by the way, or Far Rockaway, where I'm from, but it is New York, technically. Beautiful area. All right, so you grew up in Albany.
I grew up in Albany. My father was a firefighter.
Wow.
In Albany. And he helped me develop my love of food. And, you know, it's very, you know, kind of farmy up there. If you get outside of Albany, there's a lot of farms, a lot of agriculture. And I've always loved that farm ethic of outside of Albany. And, you know, heading down towards the city, you get a lot of, in the Berkshires, a lot of folks that are celebrating agriculture. So that's kind of who I was growing up. And then when I met Keith in college, we we kind of collaborated on our love of food.
And, right.
And he and so that's kind of where our journey started together, was in college.
Hmm. And Keith, what about you? What'd your dad do for a living? Where'd you grow up? Same area? Did you, and you went to the same school, but how does it all end up going to food?
No, no, I'm a Long Island boy, and my father was and still is athletic director and football coach. So I grew up with sports running through the veins and listening to WFAN in New York incessantly. So to be on a sports radio show today brings it full circle.
You're not just on sports radio. This is ESPN in Los Angeles. This station broadcasts the Lakers, the Rams, LAFC. This is a big deal for you to be on. This is the number two market in the country. And all your friends are going to hear about this, because you should put this on the link, which Steve Paulette can help you with. Because to be able to talk about sports and art and food all at once, this is what I do every Saturday, and I just love it. It's just fantastic. And we really appreciate you and the ability to care so much to make – you clearly are doing something, because Gelson's got upset when I said – not upset. They said, all right, relax, Dr. Clapper. We'll send you other chocolate sorbets. We just don't carry Ciao Bella chocolate anymore. So they sent me all these Verstunkene flavors and companies, and they all made – let me tell you something. They're terrible. They're terrible compared to you guys. So the recipe, how you freeze it, whatever it is that you're doing, you are doing – you're the Michelangelo of sorbet. How do you
That's
like
very
that?
Very kind. Thank you, Dr. Clapper.
All right. So I want to know one other thing. What exactly goes into the flavor aspects of it? How do you pick – is it – you know, how do you come up with doing lemon versus watermelon or whatever it is? What kind of research do you put behind picking out what kind of flavors to make into a sorbet?
You know, some people think we have the coolest job in the world, because we literally travel to Italy every 2 years for a big gelato conference in Rimini. And
conference, can you imagine? A gelato conference. Are you here for the conference? Yeah, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my
it's
God.
Pretty cool. And they have coffee and chocolate too. It's not so bad.
You walk around like my grandson. You probably have all the chocolate still on your cheeks, on your lips. You're like, there's no napkins in Italy. Like, you must be here for the conference. Your face is a mess. Oh my God.
Yeah. But we travel. We travel and we go to gelaterias all over the countryside, and we watch other experts at their craft, and then and try to learn from our peers.
You know what's interesting when you do travel? I was in Paris. I mean, I think about some of the greatest desserts I ever had in my life. And it's when you combine. You know, they talk about pairing, like the right wine with the right this, or in Paris, the right cheese with the correct bread, the right sauce. If it's pesto, it's a certain kind of macaroni, not spaghetti. The whole idea of pairing. And I remember being in Paris. I had pistachio-flavored creme brulee. Pistachio. Mm. And the cover, so it crackled on top because it was creme brulee, and then they put Valrhona chocolate on top. And I remember the moment when I realized, oh my God, sugar and cinnamon, peanut butter jelly, the idea of pistachio with chocolate was like next level as a combination. And I'm telling you, combining your sorbet with the gelato also, it's so interesting when you pair things in food that it almost is 1 + 1 = 7. It's not just 2. Are you interested in pairing the desserts that you make? Tell me about your philosophy about pairing the sorbet and gelato.
So much. And in fact, the Ciao Bella brand was founded with the intention of being a product line for chefs in New York City back in 1983. And so that's how I was able to get exposed to the brand, was as a young chef, and I just fell in love with the brand. So yes, I mean, like, imagine the chocolate sorbet with a little bit of like a chilled coffee reduction, a dollop of cultured cream, something like this. You could really go in all kinds of cool directions playing with sorbets. And today, cocktails and different gins and spirits drizzled over, like the lemon or the mango, for instance, is something that we highly advocate.
So if you take a scoop of your vanilla gelato and you pour espresso over it. You don't want to eat the ice cream. You don't want to drink the coffee. What I do is I take the spoon with that junction between the melted vanilla gelato where it meets the coffee with a spoon. And it's called an affogato, right?
That's correct.
When you combine your chocolate sorbet and your chocolate gelato, from now on, I want you to call it not an affogato. I want you to call it a forget about it, because that is the great. It's Clapper's version. It's called a forget about it. That's how good that is. I want to thank you both for making time to come. My address for my office is 8737 Beverly Boulevard. I'm looking forward to my case of chocolate sorbet, and you're going to hock a chinook of those middlemen characters who supply Gelson's so that chocolate sorbet from Chowbell is back in the freezers so my gigantic audience can go get that stuff. And it's a real pleasure to talk to two people who clearly are passionate about what they do, because in the end, that's all that matters in your life.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on a call with you today.
Okay. The feeling is mutual. Thanks again so much, and we'll talk soon. The great Nikki and Keith Schroeder from Chow Bella. Thank you both for making time. Appreciate it. All right, Warriors. Coming up next, we'll do some Clapper Vision. I definitely want to talk about LeBron James and his groin injury. I have a great Clapper Vision for you, and it involves a seesaw that you'll see at the park. What could LeBron James' groin injury have to do with a seesaw? I'll explain the anatomy coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show. The number is 877-710-ESPN. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Chocolate Sunday. Stan Getz. I don't know where Steve Paulette finds these things. But you can't have a chocolate sundae without chocolate gelato. And I love ice cream. Handles, Redondo Beach. Go there. Best ice cream in L.A., no doubt. And tell them Dr. Clapper sent you. There's a flavor there called Chocoholic. Oh, my God. I don't know how they make it. All I know is the cows come from Ohio. And if you want to make good ice cream, your cow needs to come from Ohio. So at Ralph's, you can get Grater's ice cream. You can get that homemade stuff at Handles in Redondo Beach. But the whole nother level. It's like you're a doctor versus a surgeon. You got physicians, internal medicine, and then you have surgeons. The internal medicine doctors, being a doctor, you're gelato. A surgeon is sorbet. It's ices. It's the same kind of family, but it's a whole different story. And I'm proud to be in the ices family. I'm proud to be a surgeon. And speaking of S surgeons, is sorbet, which is ices. And there's nothing better than chocolate ices. Black ice, like the Black Mamba. Cold-blooded Kobe Bryant making that last shot. Ugh. He's the Mamba. And it's just a pleasure to keep talking about him. All right, we're going to take a call from Michael J., but I'm going to be exiting soon, and I want to give him the decency to spend some time with him. So, Michael, you hang on the line. Coming back, I'm going to tell some stories. And then at 8:15, Michael J., you and I are going to do some Clapper Vision about your shoulder. Okay? I promise. LeBron James groin injury. Anytime you hear of an injury, like the hamstring, for example. Remember Puig? Hamstring. Matt Kemp from the Dodgers? Hamstring. Paul George now has a hamstring. The hamstring are the muscles in the back of your thigh. They help extend your hip. They help flex your knee. So when they're injured, right away everybody wants to go and look at the hamstring, the location of the injury. But as an orthopedic surgeon, let me tell you one thing. It's a seesaw. The Clapper Vision for the hamstring injury is a seesaw. Why do I mean it? It's a seesaw because when you go to the park and you look at the kids on the seesaw, you see how beautifully the balance is that you go up and down with the two kids on either end of that plank of wood that makes up the seesaw. Agonist, antagonist. One kid goes up, the other kid goes down. Well, when you talk about a hamstring injury, you better talk about the seesaw, the other side, the other muscles that are actually in front of the thigh versus the hamstring and back of the thigh. Yeah, You got to talk about the quadriceps muscles, the guys in the front, because it's a seesaw. They perfectly balance the muscles that extend the hip. You got the muscles that flex the hip. You got the muscles that flex your knee, the muscles that extend your knee. Agonist, antagonist. The two kids on the seesaw back and forth. So now we have LeBron with a groin strain. Who knows if he'll play today? I kind of hope he doesn't. He needs to have his own little bit of load management to be healthy for the playoffs. But when you hear about groin or strain in the front of your thigh, you have to actually think about what's going on in the back of the thigh. Even though that area is not injured, it's totally relatable to the injury in the front. And the same thing is true for hamstring. If you hear hamstring injury in the back, you have to think about, uh-oh, what caused it? Is it overloaded by the stronger muscles in the front? That's the beauty of physical therapy. You've got to be taught how to balance. And the best physical therapist you'll run into, you'll say, I hurt over here. The really good therapist will say, good, you hurt over here. We're going to work over here. You'll point to the front of your shoulder. Someone like Martin at Warrior Physical Therapy, you say, my shoulder hurts in front. You know what Martin does the first thing? He says, let's move your scapula. Let's get that moving better. Because it's on the other side. It's so interesting how you have to, it's like a magician. You look on in the right hand, the trick is in the left hand. It's this beautiful yin and yang. The opposite is actually how you get to the cure. Cancer, these cells grow too much. Okay, the cure is to make them grow less. That's how you have to behave. Blood flow leaves the heart. Blood flow actually needs to get the blood back to the heart. Agonist, antagonist. That's how life is. That's how the body works. Fascinating. All right, coming up next, I want to talk about ISIS. We talked to Chow Bella. Just loved it. At least I had a good time. I hope they did. But I want to talk about ISIS in art, in sports, and in surgery. That's today's topic, because Kobe had ice in his veins. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on 710 ESPN. The number is 877-710-ESPN.